Well, the world's bad, right? And getting worse. In fact, we've seen in 2 Timothy that in the last days, difficult times will come. That's what we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he said, in the last days, difficult times will come. We've seen in 2 Peter that there'll be false teachers and mockers. People will turn away from God. They'll continue to go further and further away from truth. We've seen all that. So the world's getting bad, and actually it's getting worse. But from a believer's side, we do know this, that Jesus Christ had left the glories of heaven, came to the earth, died for us, paid for sins, rose again, and he's gone to prepare a place for us in John 14. One day we'll be with him. But I want to raise a couple of questions. I want you to think about this. Is the world bad? What's the answer? Yes. The truth is, it is not as bad as it could be. And you may say, what do you mean? Well, it's not as bad as it could be, because we're going to realize that the Holy Spirit, one effect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a fallen world system is to hold back evil. You may not have thought of that. And you say, man, the world is so bad, and look what people do, and all of this. But we're going to look this morning that the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's aspects is to hold back evil in the world. In fact, there's going to be a time a man's going to come to power, which we call him what? What's his name? The Antichrist, the man of sin. Who is keeping the Antichrist from coming to power now? Guess who? Holy Spirit. We'll see that as we go through it. So there's a lot of good things. The Holy Spirit's doing all that. Now, let me remind you of the outline of the study just to show you where. We talked about the Holy Spirit's a person. It's a person. Holy Spirit's God. We talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, how he created and inspiration, how he worked with people. Then we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus Christ. And we talked about his conception, his birth, his ministry, his life, his death, resurrection, all of those things. Now we're in the part where the Holy Spirit works in the New Testament. That's where we are. And we've already talked a little bit about he brings us the scripture and the revelation and inspiration, all those. And now we're at the part where it says unbelievers. That's where we are. And we're going to talk about the world as a whole and unbelievers. And then the weeks after that, we're going to go look at what does he do for us? What does he do for us at the moment of salvation? And what does he do for us day in and day out? And we're even going to take just a little bit of time to look at the gifts of the Spirit, because we'll see how that ties together, because there's a lot of confusion. So we're just going to touch on that. So right now, we're actually in B, where it says unbelievers. What does the Holy Spirit do in the life of unbelievers of the fallen world? Now, let me remind you of what we have seen, okay? We've seen that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit's not a force. He's not just something. He is actually the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. There's one God and three persons. We cannot comprehend that. We can believe it to be true. We cannot comprehend it. It is fact that there's one God, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We say that the Holy Spirit created the world. The Holy Spirit created mankind. The Holy Spirit created the animals. So huge ministry there. We said that the Holy Spirit did not indwell permanently in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit would come upon people to do ministry and to do the things that God wanted them to do, but he didn't indwell permanently like he does now. And that's going to be a whole difference, because now when a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit actually lives inside of us and can't leave, doesn't leave. You can never lose the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person and then leave. And then we saw that the Holy Spirit was involved in the conception, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we think, wow, are you kidding me? No, he's involved in all of that. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary to produce Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit was there in all of the ministry of Christ. In fact, Jesus did all ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that Christ lifted up his life to die on the cross by the Spirit of holiness, by the Holy Spirit, and then he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of holiness. And so, bottom line, Holy Spirit's involved in all of that. Then what we've seen is we saw the Holy Spirit gave the Old Testament as he did gave the New Testament in the same way that he did the Old Testament. So all Scripture came by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we saw revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Holy Spirit came through people. I mean, it's just an amazing thing. Now, from all of that background, we now turn to the life of the unbeliever. What does the Holy Spirit do in this fallen, unbelieving world? What does he do? And we what about those who don't know the Lord? What about the world as a whole? And what we're going to see is this. The Holy Spirit works in the world system. Now, before we get any further, who controls the world system, the fallen world system? Satan controls the fallen world. Look, God is sovereign over everything. Nothing ever happens outside of God's control. So God is the sovereign ruler of all things. God has allowed Satan, who's called the prince of the power of the air. He's called disobedience. He's called that the angel, the dragon of old, Satan, Lucifer. He's got all kind of names. God has allowed him to be the ruler of this world, of this age. He's called the God of this age. Now, he's not a real God. He's an angel. But the Bible calls him sometimes the God of this age. So God has allowed Satan to rule the fallen world. And let me tell you, how evil is Satan? He's the most evil being you could ever imagine. You cannot imagine, let me tell you, you cannot imagine how evil he is. We can try. We can say, oh, he's so bad. Look at some of the bad things that happen. Listen, he is so much worse than you think he is. Okay? Now, so he affects the fallen world, and the fallen world affects us. But what we're going to see is the Holy Spirit's ministry. Because let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit didn't have a ministry in this fallen world, it'd be so much worse than you can imagine. So what we want to see first is, what does the Holy Spirit do? He, what we call, restrains sin. And in Genesis chapter 6, I'm going to go fairly quickly through all this, and we'll have plenty of time to go to our grow groups and everything. But he restrains sin. The Holy Spirit strives with man and mankind. He's saying that in Genesis chapter 6, he says, I will not always strive with man. What is it? He's holding back evil. Do you understand? In a fallen world system, as bad as we are and as bad as Satan is, who controls the system, just think what it would be like if God the Spirit did not hold back evil. Listen, it's not as bad as it could be. We are not as bad as we could be. This world is not as bad as it could be. We all talk about the time. What's the time coming after we're gone? What's it called? The tribulation, right? And it says that it is the worst time that's ever happened on the face of the earth and ever will happen. It's going to be really bad then. That's because the Holy Spirit is no longer holding back evil during the tribulation. So we'll see how that fits. I want you to do this. I want you to turn, of course you are there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to see something. We've got some verses here in chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. I want you to see what it says about the man of sin. When Paul wrote the letter to the Thessalonians, some of them thought that the rapture had already occurred and that they had missed it. And Paul says, no, I want you to understand. There's going to be a rapture, and then this man of sin's coming. So rapture hadn't happened because the man of sin has not come yet. And look what he says to him in verse 3. He says, let no one in any way deceive you. Look, don't get fooled, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. He says, listen, this man of sin's not, none of this is happening yet. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He says, listen, you haven't missed the rapture, because once the rapture happens, the man of sin comes. But he hadn't come yet. And then he describes who this man of sin is in verse 4. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship. So he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. And then Paul says, don't you remember that when I was with you, I was telling you these things? So he says, listen, don't worry. You didn't miss the rapture, because the man of sin is not here. Because once the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit is going to stop restraining that evilness, and he's going to allow the man of sin to come. Look what he says. He says he's going to oppose himself and all this. He says, don't you remember that I told you that? Then verse 6, and you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. What is restraining him now? The ministry of the Holy Spirit. What? Watch the next verse. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. You understand that there is the Holy Spirit keeping back the evilness in this fallen world, keeping him back more than it could be. I mean, it could be even worse evil. And there's going to come a time when, and the best we can tell is after we're gone, the Holy Spirit then allows this evil man to come to power and allows this fallen world to live out the evilness. And we've said over and over that this tribulation time period, when you read the book of Revelation beginning at chapter 6 through 19, and you look at that, you say, that's got to be the most horrible time that's ever been on the face of the earth. And it is. And he actually says it'll never be that horrible again. No matter, it's never been that bad, never will be that bad. And so the one who restrains, so verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. He's saying, listen, you know, when God looks at things, he doesn't say, gosh, it may be 2,000 more years. He says, it's already working. He's outside of time. He's saying, listen, this can happen anytime. The one who is restraining will do so until he's taken out of the way. Now, let me remind you of something, and then we'll go on to the next part. When the Holy Spirit takes, the church is gone, and he releases and allows the man of sin to come to power. I've had some people say, oh, there won't be any Holy Spirit at all during the tribulation. That is wrong. The Holy Spirit is always there. What is the Holy Spirit's ministry? We're going to see it in just a second. It is so that people can put their faith in Christ. How many people trust Christ during the tribulation? How many people trust Christ during the tribulation? Do y'all know? We just studied it. Millions of people trust Christ. Thousands and thousands of people trust Christ during the tribulation. It's not a time when people don't trust Christ. It's a people when the persecution comes, there are going to be people who do not take the mark of the beast. They run for their lives. They're killed. We saw that in the book of Revelation. There were these thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the throne. And John said, who are these people? And he said, these are those who were killed for their faith during the great tribulation. There are going to be many people trusting Christ. So the Holy Spirit's ministry is going to always be there. But during a tribulation, he's going to allow sin and the man of sin to come. So the first thing I want you to understand, when you think of the Holy Spirit's ministry in the world, it is to restrain what? Evil. Just remember that. It's just not as bad as it could be. Just think about it. We say, boy, this world is bad and it's getting worse. And Paul says it's going to get worse and worse. And if you remember in 2 Timothy, what did he say? He says, in the last days, men will be lovers of self. Blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on and on and on. And remember what he said? This is the last days. And he says, the people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, and reckless. I mean, just went on and on and on. That's the last day. We're hearing that now. But that's still not as bad as it could be. It's not as bad as it could be. And it will get worse when the Holy Spirit releases and allows sin to go to its power. Okay, now, the second big thing, and this is the one that's the key and that we think about all the time, and that the Holy Spirit convicts sin. Conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts. Let me talk about it, because when I write that down, you think the Holy Spirit convicts you that you lie, that you cheat, that you steal, that you commit adultery, that you look at the wrong things. When we talk about the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin, it has nothing to do with personal sins, okay? Let's watch what he says. I want you to turn to John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. So turn over to John. Go back toward the front of your Bible a little bit to the Gospel of John, John 16, and we're going to see the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what he does in the lives of the unbelieving world. Okay? It's amazing. The Holy Spirit shows the unbeliever that he is a sinner and needs a Savior. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Listen, when you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, right? Why did you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because you realized that you had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin was death. And if you didn't do something, so to speak, you're going to be separated from God forever. So God said, I sent a Savior, one to save you, Jesus Christ. He died for you and paid for your sins. He rose again and conquered death. And he gives you the what? The gift of eternal life. And so you trusted in Christ because the Holy Spirit convicted you of the fact that you needed a what? A Savior. And we're going to see it. So the Holy Spirit shows the unbeliever he's a sinner and needs a Savior. And we're going to talk about it. First of all, just I want to show you something. That Ephesians 2, 1 through 2 says that we are dead in sins. We are. We're dead in sins. Ephesians 2, 1 says, even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, we all come into the world. Every human being comes into this world spiritually dead. I'm going to put a chart up in a couple of weeks on some things, and you'll see it. But we come into this world spiritually dead. And we cannot know and understand the things of God. In fact, if you look on your chart there on your thing, I've got in 2:14, it says, we're unable to understand the things of God. An unbeliever cannot understand the spiritual things of God. I want you to understand that. There are unbelieving scholars who can go to the Greek and they can tell you this is a present active indicative and it means this and this is how it fits in the sentence and this is the direct object and this is, and they can tell you every Greek thing and they can tell you everything, but as an unbeliever, they cannot comprehend the spiritual truths of the Scripture. They cannot do it. The natural man does not understand the things of God. They are taught by the Spirit. So an unbeliever, if you're talking to an unbeliever, don't tell him about Jonah and don't tell him about some other thing. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to tell him. Watch what it is. John chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. And Jesus says back in verse 7, he said, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's to your advantage I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. We saw it several weeks ago that when Jesus left, he sent the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit. Notice what it says. When he comes, that's the Holy Spirit, what will he do? He will convict the, what does it say? The world of three things. Look. Concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I'm going to show you something that you may not understand, but let's look first at convict. He's going to convict the world. The word convict means to point out we're wrong. The world is the world system. That's all of mankind. That's the fallen mankind. It's the Greek word cosmos. We get cosmetology from it because cosmetology means ordered. That's what she does. She orders people up and fixes them up where they look good. That's what cosmetology is. That's what cosmos is. The cosmos is the ordered world system. It's a fallen system. And he convicts the who? The fallen world system. And then he convicts them, and we're going to see, of three things. Watch. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, you've got to look at it carefully because notice. No, look at it carefully again. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Notice it didn't say he will convict the world of sins, plural. He's not convicting people of their personal sins. Now, as we read scripture, we may go, ooh, I've done wrong. I've lied. We know. We may, by the word of God, understand that we've done wrong. But what is the Holy Spirit convicting us? What sin is he convicting us of? Notice the next verse. When he says that sin, righteousness, and judgment, here it is, sin, because they have not believed in me. Jesus says they've not believed in Christ. Notice again. And when he comes, verse 8, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. What is the sin? That they have not what? Believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Look, the Holy Spirit's not convicting them that they're liars. The Holy Spirit's convicting them that you have not believed in Christ. So when you're out there and you're sharing your faith with somebody and you get to that point and you tell them, hey, listen, you know, Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin. If you will trust in him, he'll give you eternal life. You need to trust Christ for eternal life. The Holy Spirit's convicting them that they need to do what? Believe in Christ. That's his conviction. Listen, since people are dead in sin, if the Holy Spirit did not convict people, people wouldn't be saved. Who does he convict? Certain people or all people? All people. He convicts the world, the cosmos, the fallen world system. So the issue isn't you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're this. The issue is you have not believed in Christ. That's what it all boils down to. Well, we're running out of time. I got to go faster. Listen, John 3:18. It says the sin is they have not trusted Christ. John 3:18. What does it say? He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already. Why are they condemned? Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It didn't say they're condemned because they're sinners. It says they're condemned because they have not believed in Christ as their Savior. That's what it's all about. So then he convicts the world of sin, then righteousness. And notice it says, righteousness, because I go to the Father, you no longer see me. He says, in order to be with the Father. She shows that Jesus died and rose again, and to be with the Father, one must be righteous. So when the Holy Spirit's convicting an unbeliever that in order to be with God, they have to be righteous. How do you get righteousness? Sin, because they haven't believed. Righteousness, because to be with the Father, you must be righteous. Righteousness comes by what? Faith. So when they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, they get the righteousness. But there's a third thing. Sin, righteousness, and what? What's the third one? Judgment. Judgment because, he says, because concerning judgment, because the prince of the world has been judged. There is a judgment coming. The Holy Spirit shows unbelievers there's a judgment coming. So if you are as an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit convicted you that you have not trusted in Christ, that you need to be righteous to be with God, and one day there is a judgment coming. That's what he's convicting people of. So when we're talking to people, it's not give up smoking, give up this, give up. It's, listen, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you believe in him for eternal life? That's the message. That's the message we stay on. So when we're talking to people, that is what we do. So Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let me ask you a question. Who does he convict? The unbelieving world. Okay? When we as believers study the Bible, it sometimes says, don't do this, don't do this. And we go, ugh. We're Christians. The Word convicts us. The Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit might convict us, but the Holy Spirit definitely convicts the unbeliever. If an unbeliever is dead in trespasses and sins and cannot understand the things of God, how is it possible for an unbeliever to be able to believe in Jesus Christ? How is it possible? Because the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. By the way, unbelievers are able to believe. They're not able to understand the spiritual things. The Holy Spirit convicts them of the spiritual things. So when we see this, the Holy Spirit in the life of the unbeliever restrains sin. You may not have even thought about that. So just the next time you say how bad this world is, just remember it's not as bad as it could be. And the second thing is the Holy Spirit convicts the unbeliever of sin and righteousness and judgment. So let me give you applications because I think time is up. Oh, yeah. Okay, let's understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our fallen world. What does he do? The Holy Spirit restrains sin and evil in our world. Think about it. The Holy Spirit restrains evil day by day, day by day. Second is the Holy Spirit, realize the Holy Spirit convicts the unbeliever. What three things? Convicts the Holy Spirit, convicts the unbeliever of what three things? Sin, righteousness, judgment. Sin because they haven't believed. Righteousness because you have to be righteous to be with the Father. Judgment because there is a judgment coming. And listen to this. The Holy Spirit's preparing people. Here's what we do. Present the gospel clearly and stay on the subject. Don't get off on Jonah and decide whether it's possible for somebody to be in a belly of a fish or not. Because that's not the issue, and the Holy Spirit's not convicting them that the book of Jonah is true. And it is true. But that's not what he's convicting them of. He's convicting them that they have not believed in Christ. So keep going back to the fact and say, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? He died for you, paid for sin, rose again, conquered death, offers you the gift of eternal life. Will you trust in him? And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing.